If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Artifacts, the feature interview component of my shows here at Eastside on Arts Monday. I'm Jane Raffin, and my guest today is Michael Fitzgerald, who is the editor of Photophile, the region's oldest art magazine dedicated to photography. Photophile is, of course, published by our neighbours up the road here in Paddington, the Australian Centre for Photography, and it's being relaunched this month after a two-year hiatus in its 30-year history. And in our final interview today, we'll be looking at the new issue and, exploring some of its contents. So, Michael, now we've looked at the first issue from 1983 and issue 50 from 1997. Before we jump another couple of decades, I want to quickly also look at issue 73 from 2005. We've gone from newspaper to compact and now quite generous format, and from 12 pages to around 80, and from black and white to full colour. Mm. Now, issue 73 for me stands in stark contrast to number 50. It has a thematic focus, on, if you like, on emotions, and I think also the body. And I think that's quite audacious. This is discussed in the editorial, which talks about the phenomenon of the, quote, sad and lonely in photography. Mm. And, of course, Henson leaps to mind and is dealt with in the issue. But there's a myriad of other content. But at the same time, there's an essay by Lily Hibbard that laments the disappearance of the body from contemporary photography, which really isn't supported by the balance of the articles and the imagery in the magazine. Do you think she meant the disappearance of the body from good photography?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Her work was, looking at that issue, her work was so quiet and...
Everything else was pretty much like a horror show.
Yes, yes. There was kind of blood and guts everywhere, wasn't it? It was a bit of a gore fest. But, I guess that issue is really interesting to look at because it's... I think it's symptomatic of where the magazine was going in the noughties, and it was increasingly thematic, larger in format. The images were starting to
take over.
There was a lot of focus on the body and performance, and this particular issue was guest curated by Beck Dean, who's now at Performance Space, and also... Robert Cook, who's at the Art Gallery of Western Australia. And I think it's... and it was an increasingly sort of a idiosyncratic, perhaps a subjective take on photography. I quite like the quote from Robert where he talked about... I was leafing through the magazine and I could only see sort of wounds and flesh and gore, but he talked about an introspective personal quality, a lovely poetic bleakness, and I guess that's Henson.
And you can take that away from the overall tenor of the magazine too, if you don't steep yourself in some of the more visceral goings on.
Yeah, there was Lyndall Walker's photographs of sort of teenage boys in their undergarments sitting in their bedrooms as figures of isolation and loneliness, and I guess it speaks of its time too. Mm. It's an interesting issue to look at in that respect, and it had an interview with Bill Henson, a reasonably rare interview with him. Mm. Lily Hibbert's work kind of stood out for me as something kind of perhaps a bit quieter and more timeless.
Yes, definitely. No, it certainly does stand out in that it's exceptional. Well, we're going to launch to the next decade very shortly in the relaunch issue. Now, it's been described as, let me see, employing all that is excellent in writing, editing and production. The new Photophile will imaginatively ponder photography's past, present and future in ways that will surprise, stimulate and illuminate. Now, I have a copy and I think it's beautiful.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Congratulations. It's a lovely balance, I think, between all those things we've talked about in the past interviews, text, image, you know, voice. It's very beautiful. I noticed that there's an article about Australian photography's place in the global context. Now, this is the question being asked, of course, of all art forms these days, it seems, and rightly so. Was that your choice? How did that come about?
Yeah, it's something that is of particular interest at the ACP at the moment too. It's part of the philosophy there is how we can foster Australian photography to be collected in international collections. And one of our curators is doing a research paper at the moment on that subject. And I guess it's looking at the importance of work being collected as important as it being exhibited for an artist's
livelihood. Well, that's refreshing.
Livelihood.
Mm, that's yeah. Very refreshing. It was very, I thought, depressing to see in that article that the author referenced the fact that he knew of at least one photographer in New York whose nationality was disguised for fear of it being a turn-off to collectors. I mean, that's just outrageous.
It is crazy that his gallerist thought so. But I guess Daniel Palmer's essay is really interesting. He talks about how in other fields such as fashion or to some extent perhaps film, nationality is not so important. But it for some reason with photography or landscape photography, in the case of Daniel's essay, we still want to make some sort of claim on nationhood and place. And yeah, it's an interesting issue. Why?
Well, I think that's going to take a long time to leave anyone's consciousness. I mean, this country's imaginings of itself were founded on that. It's pretty much deeply ingrained.
Yeah. And it's quite interesting in the essay, Daniel, as well as referring to this artist in New York whose gallerist doesn't refer to him as an Australian. There's another artist, Melbourne artist, Darren Sylvester, who I guess deliberately has not included gum trees or exteriors.
Well, he's gone completely to interiors, hasn't he? To avoid any contextual information that might set that up.
It's interesting. And then you go for someone like Simran Gill, where if you asked her about this sense of, is there a homogenous landscape or a sort of global branded kind of sense of place, she'll say that we can't divorce ourselves from the, the specific
context. No, I agree. I don't think globalism should be considered, if you like, homogenization. It should be about having a conversation between work produced in different contexts, work that may have or may vibrate across the divide. And I think that those translations is what is important if when you look at things globally. Otherwise, you may as well be standing there with your pitchfork. Absolutely. All right, then. Well, can you run us through perhaps some of the other highlights in the relaunch issue?
Well, yes. I mean, apart from Daniel's essay, which began as at a symposium for Landscape in Place at the Art Gallery, and Daniel's extrapolated on that and brought us up to date to kind of, sort of Google Map and Instagram and the world that we live in today. A big focus is actually, and a big focus of the ACP is under its new director, Con Garotas, is to put the emphasis back on the artist. And so I was thinking, how can the magazine reflect that without, being it's still an independent, spirited magazine, but how can it also reflect some of that focus on the artist? And so we have three portfolios within the magazine. So we have David Noonan, who is our cover artist, Justine Varga, a young Sydney artist, and also Darren Sylvester's response to Carol Jerram's as a picture essay. And so for me, they form the heart of the magazine, and really those pages were very much a product of all three artists, with me as the liaison or mediator, with our designer as well. So I think that for me fills the heart of the magazine.
Yeah, it's a nice elegant balance. I was wondering then, and I think you partly answered that then, just for the record and for our listeners that missed the earlier interviews about the ACP's exhibition program, is there any direct relationship between the ACP's exhibition photography program and the magazine's content, either past or present? Is it perhaps a matter of coincidence and simpatico when it occurs? Or in other words, what is the editorial process going forward?
Yeah, well, it's pretty much an independent being. The magazine is I guess it's seen as another limb of the organisation. But for instance, we have Robert Pasenko on at the moment. Mm. I was thinking, how can we perhaps touch on his show without doing an article on Robert Pasenko? And so we thought, well, he was the first curator, artist to be curated into Pompidou. It would be interesting to talk with the Pompidou's head curator. And we managed to get hold of Quentin Bajac before he took up his new role at MoMA.
New York, yeah.
And so that's how that story came about. It was really thinking...
That's a lateral connection.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
So I thought that was... It kind of informs our programming, but it actually it functions quite independently, and I like to see the magazine in that respect. But it also informs on what we're doing. So Quentin was able to talk a little about Robert's inclusion at the Pompidou along with a small handful.
And, of course, he was photographed as well by Andrew Quilty for that story.
Yes, that was a really nice serendipitous moment.
I interviewed Andrew here last year on his show Blue Highways that he did through America. So that was lovely.
Yeah.
Michael, we've been looking at past issues in our interviews today as well as this current issue. As editor, where do you see Photophile's future heading then? Is it going to have another 50 issues, do you think?
Well, why not?
Yes, good.
I think so. We're now biannual, so we're twice a year. We're in a small, reasonably small quality printed form. Mm. So we're very much committed to the printed form. We also will have a digital version, an app that will be available on iTunes. For some people they still like, the paper crackling in their fingers, and other people like the illuminated tablet where you must admit photos sort of glow from within when they're on the printed when they're on the app screen or on the tablet. So I think that seems quite a good balance, a sort of more limited edition printed form and a digital presence.
What happened? Why did it stop? What was the problem?
Well, it was in late 2010. It was it had stopped in printed form to go online, which it had, and then there'd been a change of director, and so I guess just the momentum had stopped, and it there has been a hiatus, but it's been luckily just a brief one, because there's a lot of goodwill and hunger for, I think, a printed magazine on photography.
Oh, absolutely.
In the region.
Mm. Oh, it's great. I'm very happy to see it back again. Michael, we'll have to end it there. Thank you very much for coming today.
Yeah.
Now, our listeners out there, if you've just tuned in, this is Eastside Radio at 89.7 FM. I'm Jane Raffin, and you've been part of the Artifacts Conversation here, the feature interview component of my Arts Monday shows here at Eastside. And my guest today has been Michael Fitzgerald, who is the editor of Photophile, the region's oldest art magazine. And that's dedicated to photography, of course, and that's published by the Australian Centre for Photography, our neighbours up the road here in Paddington. Photophile is being relaunched this month, and it's a beautiful book. And I think you should, all your photophiles out there should go and grab a copy. Now, for more information on today's show, the ACP and Photophile, check out the Arts Monday blog on eastsidefm.org. Coming up, and to take us through to the end of the program, we'll be listening to a range of music with messages about photos in there somewhere or another. Stay tuned. This is Eastside Radio, 89.7 FM.